Estrus, a town looking out to sea. The village of Yastres has managed to maintain its strong seafaring essence throughout history, a feature which is evident in every nook and cranny and which is easily discovered when you walk through its steep, winding streets. The old town, with its rich, well-kept heritage, has led to Yastres being declared a site of cultural interest, and it is currently considered one of the prettiest villages in Spain. All along this route, you will discover the origins and the history of some of the most emblematic places in this village. The tour starts at the top of the village, known as the Field of Saint Roque. From this vantage point, you can enjoy spectacular views of the Bay of Biscay and the village itself, a contrast of red tiled rooftops against a blue ocean and the Sueve mountain range as a backdrop. Saint Roque is one of the patron saints to whom the people of Yastres are devoted, and this chapel located beside you is dedicated to him. Despite its small dimensions, it is filled with curiosities. If you look inside, you will notice a number of votive offerings, small wax figures representing different parts of the human body. Because of the miraculous nature that is associated with this saint, many residents bring these figures as offerings to ask for cures for different diseases. The basket located in the center of the chapel is currently used by the faithful, as tradition says if your coin falls inside the basket when thrown, your prayers will be met with more fortune. Another striking aspect is the image of Saint Roque, which is kept in the chapel. This saint is usually represented accompanied by his dog, with a piece of bread in its mouth, although, strangely, his pet is missing here. Every year, in mid-August, the ancient traditional celebration of the festival of Saint Roque takes place on this high ground. There is the burning of the giant, an effigy representing a problem or anecdote which occurred during the year, and which is blown into the air as a sign of protest. From here, the route continues downwards towards the church of Santa Maria de Sabada, where you will find a new stopping point. Santa Maria de Sabada, a temple for two villages. The village of Yastres has always been closely linked to the people of Yuthes, a relationship which has been maintained throughout the years as a means of livelihood for the locals. The life of the residents of Yuthes was given over to agriculture and livestock, while the people of Yastres only had eyes for the sea. Nonetheless, many of the sailors who boarded the fishing boats came from Yuthes. The coexistence of these two villages was not always cordial. It was precisely the location of the church of Santa Maria de Sabada that was the cause of one of the greatest disputes in the history of the residents of these villages. Initially, each village intended that the church should be built within its locality, and this dispute led to a lawsuit in the early 18th century, which was eventually settled in favor of the residents of Yastres. Although the construction was carried out in this municipality, however, it stood in the upper part of town, thus being located closer to the neighboring village of Luthes. The church was built in the early 18th century thanks to the contribution of Mr. Robledo, an illustrious figure and great benefactor to the town of Yastres. Besides being a place of worship, an attempt was made for the church to improve the difficult socio-economic situation of the time. That is why the church was equipped with porches large enough for it to be used as a canopied marketplace where fish could be sold comfortably by the residents of Yastres and farm products by the farmers of Luthes. In the end, despite all the efforts, this marketplace was never opened. Opposite the church, there are two crescent-shaped stone benches, known by the popular names of the Women's Crescent and the Men's Crescent. The Men's Crescent, also called the Old Crescent, was a former meeting point for fishermen where they met to solve problems and address issues of particular importance, such as the beginning of the fishing season for each species of fish. In front of the Women's Crescent you will find the cross of Yastres, a replica of the one that existed at the now-vanished Roman bridge that spanned the mouth of the Astuera River at the town's beach. These crosses were placed at crossroads on the Way of St. James to indicate the route to be followed by pilgrims. United in the hunt for whales. You are now in the Whalers neighborhood, which, along with La Fontana neighborhood, was the original nucleus of the town, and around which the town gradually grew. This is the area where the first inhabitants of Yastres settled, residents from Luthes who moved nearer to the coast to flee from hunger and poverty and tried their luck at fishing, later settling on these cliffs for good. In this neighborhood, we can still see a number of typical fishermen's houses. These are three-story dwellings with large wooden balconies. The cellar was located on the ground floor and was often equipped with salting wells and small living quarters for breeding domestic animals such as pigs. The kitchen and communal parts of the house were located on the first floor, whereas the bedrooms were located on the second floor. The Whalers' neighborhood is named after the importance that whaling had during the 16th and 17th centuries. At that time, fish were also very abundant, so these were years of great splendor for the residents of Yastres. Whale hunting took place between the months of October and November, when these animals swam near the coast. Their arrival was much awaited by the watchmen at locations chosen by the locals for their visibility and located on higher ground. La Misiera Point, or Cabo Point, where the lighthouse is currently located, were areas chosen as vantage points for this purpose. When the watchmen spotted a whale, they lit a bonfire, which they made with green wood to generate a lot of smoke. This signal was seen from the field of San Roque, where the church bell was rung to warn all the fishermen. The other churches in the town, such as the chapel of Buen Suceso and San Pedro, also joined in ringing their bells, so all the fishermen could be notified and quickly take to their boats. They rowed out on small vessels like trawlers. The first boat to get there and make a strike with its harpoon was given the best part of the whale, while the remaining boats helped kill the animal. The strength of the oarsmen was therefore very important, as were the skill and marksmanship of the harpooner. Once the whale was killed, it was dragged to Escano Beach, where it was cut up. The pieces were transported with the help of all the locals from the town to the whale house, where the fat was converted into sayin, the oil that was used to light all the houses and churches in the town. The pieces were carried up a steep, narrow pathway on the cliff. In the 17th century, steps were built to help with the transportation, later known as the Mercedes factory steps because of the fish processing factory at the top, a site that was previously occupied by the whale house. As well as for fat, the whales were used for absolutely everything. Their bones were used for various things. Vertebrae were used to make chairs and stools. Ribs were used to strengthen buildings, and other bones served as toys for children. Whiskers had various uses too, notably in the manufacture of corsets and bras. The clock tower, protecting the port against pirate attacks. You are now at the clock tower, one of the most historical buildings in the town of Yastres. Although the tower as you see it today, with its clock, was built in 1751, its origin dates back to the 15th century, when it served as a watchtower to defend the town and the bay from constant pirate attacks. Its restoration was made possible through the contributions of Mrs. Teresa Robledo, who ordered it to be built following instructions left by her husband in his will. In this document, he reflected his desire to install both a large clock equipped with bells and a school in the village, where the local children would be taught reading, writing, and arithmetic. The location chosen for this was no accident. What was sought was the convenience of the children and residents, and that the sound of the bells would be heard throughout the town. Finally, this location was chosen because it was also situated opposite the mansion of the Robledo family. La Trinidad School and the teacher's house were built attached to the tower. Besides teaching, the teacher was also in charge of winding the clock on a daily basis. Currently, this work is done by a retired resident of the village, and it is worth noting that only once since 1751 did the clock cease to strike correctly on the hour. Originally, the school was free for all children in the village. while outsiders' children had to pay a fee of 1 real per month if they just wanted to learn how to read, and 2 reales if they also wanted to learn how to write and do arithmetic. This square, where the clock tower is located, is attached to Calle Real, where there are many houses with large balconies and corridors, and stone mansions built mainly in the 17th century with the fortunes made by Yastres emigrants. With hopes set on the sea. You find yourself in the area known as the Lookout, a strategic location for a long time, both in the daily lives of fishermen as well as their families. This lookout served as the vantage point for fishing. The appearance of large dark patches, known here by the name of charabales, meant dense shoals of sardines swimming near the surface, and these were eagerly awaited. When the presence of one of these banks of fish was detected, the alarm was raised, and all the fishermen ran to their boats to be the first to reach the precious spoils. This lookout is located in close proximity to the fishing neighborhoods of the Whalers and La Fontana, and was a meeting place for women and children as they awaited the safe return of boats to the port following long days of arduous work. The Bay of Biscay, so fierce and unpredictable, continues to cause many misfortunes along the entire coast. Formerly, these were more common because fishing vessels were more fragile and because there were no weather forecasts to warn of storms. But even nowadays, it is still commonplace news. September the 6th, 1944, still lingers in the memories of all the fishermen and residents of Yastres. On that day, the last great tragedy took place that shook the Yastres fishing fleet. On that fateful day, all of the boats were fishing for tuna, encouraged by the good catches produced on previous days, when a huge storm broke and struck the Cantabrian coast. All the boats managed to reach the port, some in Yastres and others in Riba de Sella, even a few in Santander. All survived except one, the glorious San Antonio, which was lost beneath the waves with 13 men on board. The whole town was eager to help the families of the missing sailors, along with the Social Maritime Institute and the mining orphanage, who collaborated with grants and scholarships for the orphans. This event, the saddest remembered in Yastres, still overwhelms sailors and residents who remember each and every detail. Other strong gales are also remembered, like the one in 1961. Thanks to the improvement of fishing vessels at that time, there were no further losses in Yastres, although there were in other parts of Asturias. The constant hustle and bustle of the docks. The fishing port has been the true motor of economic and social life in Yastres. It is now home to around 15 fishing boats, as well as numerous leisure craft. Not so long ago, this fishing port was among the most important in Asturias, with a large fleet primarily aimed at fishing for sardines, sea bream and tuna. Among the fleet, you will see vessels of different sizes. The larger ones are the drift netters, aimed at fishing for hake, with fixed nets called drift nets. In fact, hake is the main species at this port in terms of the number of kilograms unloaded. Most of the fleet is made up of smaller vessels that change their fishing equipment throughout the year, depending on the abundance of the catches, alternating between traps, nets, and long lines to catch crab, mullet, monkfish, or sea bass. This rotation also allows for resource recovery, making fishing sustainable over time. If you visit Yastres on a weekday, you'll experience the daily work at the dock. You will see vessels maneuvering as they enter the port, crates with the catches of the day, seagulls waiting for morsels of fish, the silence of the fishermen concentrating as they mend their gear in the warehouse and prepare equipment that might bring better luck. You will also probably be accompanied by the voices of those who come to spend time at the jetty, casting their rods, hoping for a bite, but with no real expectations other than to have a good time. The main building of the port is the fish market, in Asturias known as La Rula. This is one of the most modern in Spain, since it has optimum conditions for the handling of fish. The catches of the day, newly arrived in the fish market, are weighed and labeled and passed directly to cold storage. Sales take place by using photographs displayed on monitors, thus preventing the cold chain from being broken and allowing for better maintenance of the fish. Buyers are mainly wholesalers who distribute this precious commodity to other parts of Spain, as well as local retailers that know how to transform the fish and seafood into authentic culinary gems to be enjoyed at any of the restaurants in the town of Yastres. Looking out to sea with a view to the future. As you may have realized, Yastres is set in one of the most stunning landscapes of the Asturian coastline, perched on the cliffs overlooking the sea at the foot of the Sueve mountain range. In the distance, you can even admire the views of the high summits of the Picos de Europa. On your right lies Yastres Beach. A little further away you will see La Griega Beach. With good visibility, you will also have a view of the coastline, including the municipalities of Caravia and Riba de Sella. Besides the landscape, the coast of Colonga will no doubt surprise you with the sights of so-called ignite footprints. These are dinosaur fossil footprints, some of global significance due to their large size. If you look out to sea near the coastline of Yastres, you will see another one of its signs of identity, the dock. This structure, currently not in use, is the remains of an old coal loader. During the 19th century, there was intense mining activity in the town, and the port of Yastres was not big enough for large ships to dock and collect coal. This problem was solved through the installation of an ingenious system. The coal extracted from the mine in Karandi was brought to this point on the coast in carts and then transported in small wagons suspended by cables, like on a zip wire, to the loading dock and from there to the ships to be taken to Gijón and Bilbao. But stories of the past must give way to the present. Beside the dock, you can see large buoys marking the limits of underwater enclosures reserved for the cultivation of seaweed. Here in Yastres, attempts have been made to grow a number of species, such as the well-known sweet komu seaweed, which is sold retail and is consumed in large quantities in France and Japan. Despite these efforts, however, these crops are in serious danger because of the twait shad, a herbivorous fish that feeds voraciously on this seaweed.